Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, Dog Pound? Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here for the first hour on a Mailbag Wednesday, and then Michael Regei will fill in for me on the second hour of this show alongside Matt. Very excited to be with you here as the Browns return to work on this Wednesday, getting set to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. And on this show for you today at 1:45, we will have Mike Pettine's press conference addressing the Jaguars, the return to work, updating you on some of the injuries about this team as they get ready to travel down to Florida and take on the winless Jaguars this Sunday. Also, Scott Petrak will be with us at 2:15 p.m. Eastern. And it is Mailbag Wednesday, so don't forget to tweet us at Browns_daily, at Nathan Zagura, at MattWilhelm57, and use the hashtag mailbag. We already have some good ones. We're going to dip into the mailbag at 1:30. But before that, at 1:15, we're going to get into our grades. We're going to go through the position groups as we do every Wednesday and give our grades for the game over the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we're looking forward to that as well. But let's start right now with the kind of updating you on some transactions that have happened with the Cleveland Browns over the last couple of days. Yesterday, they placed Armani Bryant on injured reserve, and they signed Sione Fua, a defensive tackle, defensive lineman in his fourth season out of Stanford. He was a third-round pick of the Carolina Panthers in 2011. He's appeared in 29 games, 12 starts, 33 tackles, one forced fumble. He was with the Panthers from 2011 to 2013, two games with the Broncos last season as well. This is a guy who certainly can add a little bit of beef to this defensive line, 6'2", 310, and somebody that they have decided to use the roster spot of Armani Bryant on. And Matt, let me ask you, as a guy who has joined a team midseason and gone on to win a Super Bowl with that team, the Green Bay Packers, when you are a guy like Sione Fua, who just comes in here middle of the season, how tough is it to get up to speed and be able to be a real contributor?
As a defensive lineman, I think defensively that is the easiest position to adapt very quickly because you're accustomed to techniques and where you line up, one technique, three technique, five, seven, nine, whatever it might be. Where he'll have to make the fastest learning curve is what he's asked about, those techniques he's asked to use from the coaches. But the one thing that I'll say from my perspective as coming in midseason is there's a lot on his mind, and we just hope because your belongings, your car, where you're living, you know, how long are you going to stay? Is this a permanent place for him? And especially as a guy who's been other places and been other places midseason, we just hope that he dives into this defense. And I think from a depth perspective, we're going to need him to play and give us, you know, give some guys some rest. But as the season goes on, we hope we add him to our rotation. But it's tough. But I think on defense, because he's not a signal caller, that he just gets told where to line up and what technique to play, it's the easiest.
And let me just go to those techniques because you understand it, I understand it, but some people listening might understand. Talk for the defensive line, a one technique, three
sure.
technique, five technique.
Absolutely. So a one technique or a zero, you align directly head up on the center. A one technique, you're shading to an outside shoulder, either right or left, based on the front, you know, strong left, strong right. You're shading to the right or left shoulder of the center. A three technique or a two technique would be head up on a guard. A three technique is an outside shoulder of the guard. Five technique is inside shoulder of the tackle. A seven is the outside.
And then the wide nine.
And the wide nine, like the Philadelphia Eagles. Absolutely. So we, as you guys look at our defensive ends, you know, are usually in fives or sevens, and our outside rushers are usually in nines or wide nines in that stand-up position in a 3-4 defense.
So there it is. A little football education courtesy of Matt Wilhelm there. That was not the only move that the Browns made. They also signed Kevin Cohn to the practice squad. 6'3", 216-pounder in his third NFL season out of Georgia Tech. Originally signed with Atlanta as an undrafted free agent in 2011. Has been in 29 games, one reception for 12 yards, 10 special teams tackles. He's on the practice squad, spent time on the Cardinals and Bucks practice squads this season. So Kevin Cohn has joined, obviously, the Cleveland Browns there on the practice squad. They bring in another big-bodied receiver, Rodney Smith, who they brought in a few weeks ago, was on the active roster of the guy that joined the team from the Minnesota Vikings. So those are kind of a little housekeeping issues there for this team on the roster side of things. Also can tell you that Nick McDonald, who we've been talking about as a potential fill-in at center for this team, got taken off of the not football injured list and is on the return to practice list. So he's going to attempt to give it a go this week. The team will see where he is. And then if they were to make him active, they would have to make room somewhere on the 53-man roster, and that would probably be the designation that they give to Alex Mack, who's scheduled to have surgery tomorrow in North Carolina. So you think, though, for a guy being able to come in and make a quick impact, the defense is easier than the offense, and defensive line is probably the easiest of all positions.
It definitely is, and I think what we're going to get, we're going to see his reps grow as he builds confidence, but he's going to be he's almost like a change of pace guy. He's going to be in the rotation. I wouldn't be surprised if he played any more than 15 snaps in the upcoming week against the Jaguars and maybe grow that to 20 or 25 as we go. But then he's going to settle in to that that comfort zone within this rotation because, again, he is a new guy. If we liked him that much, we would have brought him here in the offseason. So you have, and also too, we have to love the fact that we get Ruben back. We've got John Hughes coming off
hopefully,
his best performance this season, and Desmond Bryant, who I think played one of his best football games thus far, and looks like he's kind of over that injury hump as well.
It does seem to be had the sack for quarterback pressures. He had his best game when they needed it the most, but they've gotten some reinforcements. Mike Penn saying he is hopeful that Ataba Ruben would be able to return this week. So good news there for the Cleveland Browns. And again, we'll have the coach's full press conference at 1:45 here on CBD, driven by Liberty Ford. But obviously now the Browns come back to work on a Wednesday. And when you come back to work after a monster win like this, knowing that you're going on the road to go take on a Jacksonville Jaguars team that hasn't won a game, Matt, is it easier to kind of get your focus back knowing that you have to go into a hostile environment on the road? Is that almost easier to deal with than saying if the Jags were lined up at home this week?
Yes, and I don't so much think that Jacksonville is going to be a hostile environment. It's just going to be
hot,
not home and hot. Yes, exactly. The Jacksonville Jaguars, again, it's not a very tough place to play. Their fans are not passionate like we see fans in the AFC North, so that makes it tough to play. It's not going to be hard to communicate. I'd be surprised. I'm sure the coaches will have Brian Hoyer in the offense using that silent cadence just in case it is a game and they happen to be loud. But it's a confidence boost to know that you've got that win on the road below your belt in the amazing fashion that we did against the Tennessee Titans. You've come home and took care of your rival. Confidence is extremely high right now. And I will say, I do think it's a great thing for Coach Mike Pettine and this team to still not have that victory Monday. And when I say victory Monday, that means you get Monday off, you get Tuesday off, and you report back Wednesday morning. Is the first time you have any team obligation, which means, and I hope, and coaches usually do that, is they dangle that carrot in front of you like, one more guys and I'll give you Monday. Two more guys after Oakland, we come home, I'll give you Monday. So guys are hungry for that because it's an accomplishment and it's something that you've earned, and you can only do that by winning football games.
It is you can only get there, and it's nice to dangle those carrots to get guys to go ahead and perform and certainly not get lost in the own hype, because it's tough when all of a sudden the national media is calling, everybody's saying your next three opponents are 1-16, keeping that focus on the one, because you can't win the next three unless you win the first one.
No doubt. And I think that we talked about it off air is, how disappointing to come home for two very, very winnable games that we will be favorites in if we don't handle business in Jacksonville. We lose all the momentum that we've gained from the last two victories, the one over the Steelers, where First Energy Stadium was out of control.
That's right.
We lose all that, and it becomes just another game if we don't take care of business this week.
So who are these Jacksonville Jaguars? Well, they enter the game at the record of 0-6. They have the worst point differential in the National Football League at -104. They've only scored 81 points on the season. That is the lowest in the National Football League on a per-game basis. They've given up 185. 0-2 at home, 0-4 on the road. They have just not been a very good football team thus far. Head coach Gus Bradley in his second season looking to right the ship there. He's known for his defensive tough-mindedness, but so far that really has not worked for this team. The head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, walking by with a little fist pump as he just finished his presser, which we will air for you at 1:45. They are led by rookie quarterback Blake Bortles, who's basically played about 3.5 games, has already thrown 7 interceptions. So he is turning the football over. They've had some injuries on their line that has given up 27 sacks. That's most in the National Football League. But defensively, they do have a very good front. Red Bryant, Sendarek Marks, Chris Clemens up front. They've got Paul Posluszny at linebacker. So they've got some good players, but the defense has been put in such disadvantageous situations by an offense that ranks dead last in points scored per game, dead last in total yards per game, dead last in rushing per game. They're 23rd against in passing, and then on defense, 31st in points allowed, 30th in yards allowed, 19th in rushing D, 30th in pass D, and they're tied for 29th in the turnover ratio. That's why they're winless. They have not been very good.
Nathan, I hope we keep these stats away from that locker room. I mean, I know these guys are good. They're going to dive into the personnel. They're going to dive into the concepts that make the Jacksonville Jaguars both offensively and defensively, but hearing those statistics as a player in this locker room, and for me, even as a former player, my mind still goes, ha, we got these guys, man. And it's going to be a game where I believe, and again, we'll get to our picks later in the week. This is where our offense and defense should eat and eat well. These are the type of games that catapult you into Pro Bowl talk. These are games that catapult you into the top 5, top 10 statistically on the ground, you know, and what we should be able to do these guys defensively. A defense that for us has struggled. We've struggled, and statistically we rank higher than I know Coach Pettine doesn't pay any attention to it, but we do, and fans do, and the players do, and I know that having sat in those defensive locker rooms and defensive meetings, the coaches share where you rank, just so you know. And it's like, you know, did you ever want to get picked second over being picked first?
No.
No, you want to get better. You want to be the best. You want to strive for that. And this is one of those games where when you set out goals in the beginning of the year about we want to accomplish this, we want to, you know, average 4 sacks a game, we want to average 3 turnovers a game, we want to own this, we want to be the best at this. This is one of those games where we can, by far and away, continue the success against Pittsburgh, but get back on those tracks towards stepping on those goals.
So you see these numbers, and that's immediately where your head goes.
Absolutely.
And you're exactly right. But the coaches don't want the players thinking this way.
No.
So what will they do? Put a cut-up together of the things that Jacksonville actually plays where they've had great success, because they still have 19 sacks, second most in the league, which is incredible when you think of how often they've been behind in games that they're still getting the quarterback so effectively. So take us in those meeting rooms. What do the coaches do to say, you can't overlook this team? Yeah, they may be 0-6, but the fine line in the NFL, and look at what they do well. Look how good this defensive front is. So you better be on your game blocking, etc.
You said it best. They will make cut-ups of what Jacksonville does well, and that's how I would start my week. That's what should be shown in the meetings this morning to add a little scare factor in the players' minds. But over the course of today, tomorrow, Friday, and on traveling on Saturday, as these guys continue to dive in, those stats will shine through in the play of this football team, you know, and how bad they are, or the fact that they can't rush the football. And that's something that if I'm Ruben and Hughes and Dansby and these guys, I am literally starting to drool at a statistical type of football game.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Sure. You know, and it's interesting because a lot of people are worried about a letdown with the Browns, and I'm not worried about it at all. And this is why. This is a team that has not won more than 6 games in forever. They can't take anything for granted because here they are at 3-2. You know what? They were 3-2 last year and finished the season 4-12. And a lot of those guys are still here on the team this year that experienced that, that lived through that, and struggled through that. So they know not to take anything for granted. I believe that, number one. Number two, it's not like the following week is a huge game. I think if you're going to Jacksonville and then you had Cincinnati at home the week after, it would be possible to thinking,
yeah,
okay, we just got to get through Jacksonville, and then we got this big Cincinnati game. And if we can beat Cincinnati, then we're going to be in control of this division, and we're going to be right in that conversation. The game coming back after that is the Raiders. So it's not that you're not looking ahead to the Raiders game and putting, you know, kind of preparing with one eye on the following week, because that game doesn't merit that either.
And if anything, Nathan, I think it's let's go handle our business and come home for 2 weeks. Let's go handle our business and come home. At that point, it's the opponents we play at home are irrelevant, but you're going to enjoy that 2 week stay of not having to travel here in Cleveland.
It's gonna be great.
Line up anybody against us at 4-2, but let's go handle business in Jacksonville and come home.
come home and take care of business. When we come back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Matt and I hand out our grades for the Steelers game as the Browns got it done 31-10. It'll be the final time we touch on the Steelers, and then all the attention on to Jacksonville. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, ESPN Cleveland, right here on 850 WKNR.